you here on this sixth Sunday after Pentecost. Also, those of you that have joined us on our Facebook Live and on our phone patch. We're going to open our service this morning with song number 465, O for a Thousand Tongues, number 465.
Name, we come before you, dear Heavenly Father, that name that has been given above every name. We come with these tongues to proclaim what you have done for us. These tongues of clay, but oh, how beautiful it is when we can join them all together and this worship, this time that has been set aside to indeed worship you. And even we know that there will be a time that every knee will bow and every tongue will proclaim that you are Lord. But until that time, Father, we ask that you would continue to strengthen us to proclaim your word, to do so in our daily lives, to grant us the strength to loosen these tongues, even as we have sung, that they wouldn't be bound by our own sinful natures, but that they would be able to proclaim the wonderful work of our Savior, Jesus Christ, that we could, in word and deed, show the faith that you have given us, that we can trust in you and that we can point always to that completed and finished work of Jesus, where that to that cross that is empty and to that tomb that is empty, but there is not emptiness in our lives, that our joy is full in you, Father. We're thankful for this time to come to this house, the Lord's house, recognizing even as Solomon did when he was beginning to build the temple that heaven and earth cannot contain you, Father. But we're thankful for this building where we can gather these tongues, where we can gather together to hear that precious word of life. But even if there isn't a building, Father, we acknowledge that you have entered into the heart of man through Jesus Christ and through that Spirit, and may we be thankful always for that, Father. I want to remember any that today struggle, whether it's financially or spiritually, mentally, whatever the challenge is. There are many that we remember at all times, but those that have passed away recently, those that have come through surgeries or physical ailments, we remember our brother Dave, our dear brother Dave, that is still such an integral part of us, but yet is not unable to gather with us, Dave and Karen, this morning, that be with them, be with the family, continue in Dave's time of need, that we know that you are the great physician and that you draw near to those in need. Be with the young, be with the elderly, Father. There are a myriad of needs that we would not even begin to remember, but you never forget. Even when the sparrow falls, we know that you are aware of all these things. Be with the brother as he comes this morning. Help him to acknowledge, to still his heart, to be able to proclaim that gospel to us, and ready our ears and our hearts to hear and to understand this morning. Now, Father, we offer the prayer that Jesus taught us. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. We continue with 402 when sojourning here. Thank you. psalm that we will read this morning, Psalm 15, found on page 433 in the Pew Bible. We'll read all five verses of Psalm 15 in Jesus' name. Lord, who shall abide in thy tabernacle? Who shall dwell in thy holy hill? He that walketh uprightly and worketh righteousness and speaketh truth in his heart. He that backbiteth not with his tongue, nor doeth evil to his neighbor, nor taketh up a reproach against his neighbor. In whose eyes a vile person is contemned, but he honoreth them that fear the Lord. He that sweareth to his own hurt and changeth not. He that putteth not out his money to usury, nor taketh reward against the innocent. He that doeth these things shall never be moved. Amen. I'm going to continue with 378, Take Time to Be Holy.
Greet you with the grace, mercy, and peace from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. May he be with you not only this day, but ever henceforth. Amen. It is good to gather, to spend time around the Word. I know we do this in our own private homes, in our personal study. Those are important times. But I think it's also important to recognize the blessing that we have in the corporate worship that God has so graciously allowed us to continue. I love the portion of the word where it tells us in the early part of Luke, where it tells us that Jesus, as his custom was, went to the synagogue. You know, the very Son of God had that example, that need, that desire to go to the place of worship that God's children gathered. You know, and that's a special occasion, a blessing that we have. We have sometimes in the past, I know I have taken it for granted, and when I went into the military service, it became very clear to me how important that time was. Even though I had many sermons to listen to, I had the scriptures to read, there was commentaries, a lot of theologians that we can follow and read, and yet that personal time, that one-on-one, that when we gather together as God's people. What a blessing that is to sing these songs of praise and of thanksgiving, these songs that bring the direction of the word, you know, as the songwriter has just written, take time to be holy, you know, to reflect on those things. You know, we find in ourselves that we are not holy in ourselves, but it is through the work of Jesus Christ that we can find ourselves righteous and able to stand before a righteous and holy God. That by faith, that gift of the gospel is appropriated unto us, that forgiveness that comes through the declaration of the gospel that has been proclaimed from that time that Jesus suffered and died and rose again, that these apostles and these disciples of Jesus carried forward, that they wrote about. And so we have the beauty of the New Testament that carries that testimony to us, that is, allows us to share in fellowship. Because truly fellowship, when we get together as individuals, we can talk about things like work and home and school and the various things that we partake of here in this world that we're a part of. And yet true fellowship is that when we are joined together as brothers and sisters in Christ, when we begin to share in this word, when this word becomes the preeminent topic of discussion, when it flows from the heart of those that believe. And that's the blessing that we have at fellowship, because it comes through the work of the Holy Spirit, through the power that the word brings in that spirit, which is Christ Jesus himself. And so we are thankful for that gift that God has given. I've appreciated the church seasons. You know, we have a number of seasons in the church year, beginning with Advent in the early December. The first Sunday in December begins the Advent, the coming of the Lord. And then we go into Epiphany, which speaks of the revelation that there was of Christ into the world, and the time of Lent and of Easter, as we meditate upon the work that Jesus came as far as his earthly ministry there. And we've entered into the time of Pentecost. As I mentioned, this is the sixth Sunday in Pentecost. You know, and Pentecost is the outpouring of the Holy Spirit, not just in an external way there in Jerusalem, 2,000 years ago, but it is that indwelling Spirit also that abides within the believer, that Jesus promised he would send unto his children, and that promise that has been fulfilled. And so it's important for us to recognize that the time of Pentecost, as it brings instruction to us, that we should take time to be holy, that we should spend time in this word, that it is the power of the Holy Spirit that brings that into fruition, that brings a benefit into our hearts and into our souls. You know, that it does not just bring to us understanding that, well, I've done this and now I've checked off a box and so I've accomplished something. You know, this is the life of the believer. This is our conversation. You know, I love that word in the King James. You know, when we speak of our conversation, we're not just talking about the discussions that we have. We're talking about our entire life, our being. You know, the Apostle Paul, when he was on Mars Hill, as he spoke to those there, he said that it is in him whom we live and move and have our being. And so that is the power that the gospel brings. It supplies unto us life itself. Because the life that is lived outside of Christ is a life that is journeying simply towards death. Towards death and towards eternal separation from God. And so the blessing that we have as believers is that we have received that life. And then a desire that dwells within because we have experienced the love of God, because we have seen His grace applied unto us personally. Then we desire that others would come to know that peace that God brings into the human heart when we have found ourselves reconciled before a righteous and holy God. When we have come to the place where we have bowed, as Brother Tom so often says, the knees of our heart. You know, how important that is to recognize that this is the work of God, to bring a work of humility, of a humble and a contrite heart into us, not just once in a time of experience, but in a time of repentance, which is the daily life of the believer. And so the time of Pentecost is an important time to reflect and to meditate upon what God has supplied unto us in Christ Jesus. The gospel that's for today is from the 10th chapter of the Gospel of John, and it is the story of Martha and Mary, or a part of an occasion that Jesus encountered Martha and Mary. And I've chosen not to go into that portion of the Word today. I appreciate the fact that, you know, we see Jesus as He encounters humanity in His time here on earth, that He reached out to so many different varied people. You know, Martha and Mary and Lazarus, remember them from Lazarus being dead and being raised again, and Martha and Mary serving Jesus and spending the time in worship and acknowledging who this Jesus was. You know, we recognize that, you know, the teaching that was brought to them was something that, you know, wasn't brought just in an instant, but it was something that was a part of their lives. And that is one of the blessings we see. And as we look back in the Old Testament, you know, we see not only the faults of the children of Israel, which they were many, just as we acknowledge in ourselves that we are sinners in need of that grace, but we see the blessing that they had in recognizing that God's work was complete in their lives. You know, from the time of their birth, they were taught. They were brought to that place of instruction. You know, and it's a blessing today to be able to see so many young here. You know, we are a small group, and yet we have a great number of young people. If we were going to do the percentages, you know, that's a great blessing. You know, so many of us recognize, or as we go back in our own lives, you know, the blessing we had with those that we encountered, you know, the love that they had towards us, the gift that God brings in that love to encourage us, you know, and to instruct us in the road that God has called us to. You know, we had an example here of the song that we sang, number 402, When Sojourning Here. You know, Brother Steve Curdy, which, you know, some of you probably don't know, but was killed in Vietnam. He was a member of the Curdy family from the Portland, Oregon area. His father was a pastor and one of his brothers. But he was killed as he was served as a medic in Vietnam and was killed. He wrote that song, and, you know, the outpouring of his heart. You know, the gift that we see when the believer is able to express themselves. What a blessing. And that's what the Psalms bring to us. You know, that expression that God Himself instills within the heart, that causes us to rejoice in His goodness and in His grace, to know that He is the one that has loved us with an everlasting love. And it transcends. It's not something we have to wait for at a later age in life to come to experience and to know. Because God works even as He took a little child and said in the midst of His disciples. And what did He say? He said, of such is the kingdom of God. You know, this blessing that we have when God is able to reach us no matter where we are and no matter who we are, to be able to bring to us that message of salvation, that peace that comes with the acknowledgement of who God is and of His great work that He has accomplished when He sent His Son into this world. The 122nd Psalm reads this way. It says, I was glad when they said unto me, let us go into the house of the Lord. Our feet shall stand within thy gates, O Jerusalem. Jerusalem is builded as a city that is compact together. Whither the tribes go up, the tribes of the Lord, unto the testimony of Israel, and to give thanks unto the name of the Lord. For there are set thrones of judgment in the thrones of the house of David. Pray for the peace of Jerusalem. They shall prosper that love thee. Peace be within thy walls and prosperity within thy palaces. For my brethren and my companions' sake, I will now say, peace be within thee. Because of the house of the Lord our God, I will seek thy good. how important it is to know and to experience that blessing that God supplies in Christ Jesus to us, that peace that passes all understanding. I'm going to turn to a little further on in the Gospel of Luke. It's not part of any of the calendar texts for this year. I appreciate the fact that early in the church year we took the Gospel of John was one that was used so very often, and very often chapter after chapter is used in sequential Sundays. Luke has taken its place now at the time of Pentecost. Luke has been the featured gospel, so to speak. Continues, I think, up into November. But this chapter, this 19th chapter of Luke, is not one that was a part of those messages. So we're going to read the first 10 verses there. This is found on page 771 in the Pew Bible. It's one that takes me back to my younger days, and I guess I've been thinking about the young people. I know others have a heart for, you know, encouraging those that, of you that have not gotten to the age that some of us have, you know, and I think it's important to recognize that God speaks to you, you know, at a young age. You know, it doesn't require a great intellect of mind to be able to understand theology, because faith is a matter of the heart. You know, and it is Jesus who speaks to us. You know, we can hear an audible voice, but it's important to recognize that it is Jesus who is the Christ that comes and speaks to us individually and personally. So let's read those first 10 verses of the 19th chapter of Luke. Reading this in Jesus' name. And Jesus entered and passed through Jericho. And behold, there was a man named Zacchaeus, which was chief among the publicans, and he was rich. He sought to see Jesus, who he was, and could not for the press, because he was of little stature. And he ran before and climbed up into the sycamore tree to see him, for he was to pass that way. And when Jesus came to the place, he looked up, and he saw him, and said unto him, Zacchaeus, make haste and come down, for today I must abide in thy house. And he made haste and came down and received him joyfully. When they saw it, they all murmured and said that he is gone to be a guest with a man that is a sinner. And Zacchaeus stood and said unto the Lord, Behold, Lord, the half of my goods I give to the poor. And if I have taken anything from any man by false accusation, I restore him fourfold. And Jesus said unto him, This day is salvation come to this house. For as much as he also is the son of Abraham. For the Son of Man has come to seek and to save that which was lost. Amen. Sometimes it's difficult as young people to comprehend and understand the sin nature that we carry, this original sin that is a part of us. And that's why I think it's so important that we continue to read the entirety of Scriptures. We've been going back through the Book of Genesis in our Sunday morning Bible studies, and this Book of Genesis is an important book, because it brings to us and unlocks the very key that God Himself has caused to work within the Scriptures to reveal Himself to humanity. We see not only the creation of man, we see the creation of the world that we live in. But we see the fall of man. We see Adam and Eve as they are taken out of that garden, that perfect place, that place of paradise, that, you know, the best that we could possibly think of. You know, they're taken and removed from that. It is because they had doubted God. You know, they listened to Satan's voice, who said, Has God said, did he really mean what he said, that you shouldn't eat of that one fruit of the tree in the garden there? And so the gift that we have been given is that the entirety of Scripture opens to us the one true God, the God who is the God of Abraham and of Isaac and of Jacob, but is also the God of the New Testament. It goes from Genesis to Revelations as far as the revelation of this Word. And so, you know, sometimes even, you know, as we were talking this morning, there's some of minor prophets that are so difficult to understand, the reasoning that these Old Testament prophets use sometimes is beyond our experience, for sure, but beyond our understanding of why do they say the things that they say. But I think when we go into the New Testament and we begin to see the work of Jesus, when the foundation of who we are, that we are sinners in need of the grace of God, when we are those that have come to this place of desiring to know who God is, and I think God places that question within each one of us. You know, I think even at a young age, that question can arise within us, that who is this God that you know, we hear about in church, that mom and dad talk about, that we read about in our studies. You know, the fact that we recognize that in the New Testament, Jesus Christ is revealed. You know, when he was baptized there, he said, "This is my beloved Son in whom I am well pleased." You know, and the fact that we can look back at our baptism. You know, we were brought to baptism. We were taken by our parents and brought before the Lord. You know, no volition of our own, no decision of our own. You know, and brought to a place that Jesus himself commanded and instructed his disciples to go out into all the world and to preach the gospel, but to baptize in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. You know, that baptism, we can look at it. This is God's work. You know, God's love towards us. You know, he's loved us from our earliest childhood. You know, he's loved us from our infancy, from our inception into this world. That God continues to love. He loves the entire world in such a way that he desires they would come to know him, because he alone can bring peace into our hearts. And he has accomplished that through Jesus Christ. And we see Jesus encountering so many on his journey, and his, you know, this journey that he's on in Luke, that all of these incidences that take place with Martha and Mary, and as they continue with the others, he's heading towards Jerusalem, and he's heading for a very specific purpose. He is going there to die. You know, he is going to suffer and die for the sins of the entire world. And as he goes along, he continues to instruct and to teach and to bring direction to those that are with him. You know, and many came to him and sought that direction. It tells us in the 18th chapter that a certain ruler asked him, saying, "Good master, what shall I do to inherit eternal life?" You know, and that is the single most important question that you can have. What is eternal life, and how do I inherit eternal life? And Jesus said to him, he says, "Why callest me thou good?" He says, "None is good save one, that is God. Thou knowest the commandments: do not commit adultery, do not kill, do not steal, do not bear false witness, honor thy father and thy mother." And he said, "All these I have kept from my youth up." This was the heart of this ruler. And he says, "And now when Jesus heard these things, he said unto him, Yet lackest thou one thing. Sell all that thou hast, and distribute unto the poor, and thou shalt have treasure in heaven, and come and follow me." And when he heard this, he was very sorrowful, for he was very rich. And when Jesus saw that he was very sorrowful, he said, "How hardly shall they that have riches enter into the kingdom of God?" Jesus wasn't just talking about the outward riches, because, you know, God is a God who distributes according to his own several will and purpose. You know, the fact that he supplies more to others than he does in a natural way, you know, that isn't something that God is reflecting upon value of an individual. You know, God blesses some with natural riches, and he blesses some with poverty. You know, the fact that we recognize that every good and perfect gift comes from God, who is the Father of lights, with whom there is no variableness, neither shadow of turning. You know, God supplies. He's talking about the riches of this man's heart. You know, this man who could not give up these things of this world. He could not sell all that he had. You know, and you know, when we read that, I think we would, you know, the natural mind say, well, maybe he's going to have to go into poverty. No, that's not what Jesus is talking about. He's saying he calls him to follow him. And then as we go, we see that there is a blind man that comes to Jesus. You know, he comes for healing, you know, and someone who, you know, could not see, could not come to that place, and he comes unto Jesus. And Jesus, it tells us here in the latter part of 18, he says, the word tells us here that a certain blind man sat by the wayside begging, and And hearing the multitude pass by, he asked what it meant. And they told him that Jesus of Nazareth passeth by. And he cried, saying, Jesus, thou son of David, have mercy on me. In other words, this man who was blind had received instruction, had received the testimony of the Old Testament, that God would send a Savior, that God would supply unto humanity one that would redeem them from this world. And he says, and they went before, rebuked him that he should hold his peace. But he cried so much more, thou son of David, have mercy upon me. And Jesus stood and commanded him to be brought unto him. When he was come near, he asked him, saying, what wilt thou that I should do unto thee? And he said, Lord, that I may receive my sight. And Jesus said unto him, receive thy sight, thy faith has saved thee. And immediately he received his sight and followed him, glorifying God. And all the people, when they saw it, gave praise unto God. You know, the testimony of what God's work does for us. You know, it calls and it brings and it comes to us with this message of the gospel to follow him. Peter asked a question of Jesus after Jesus had told his disciples there of that rich ruler. He says, it's easier for a camel to go through the eye of a needle than for a rich man to enter into the kingdom of God. And when they heard it, they said, who can be saved? And he said, the things which are impossible with men are possible with God. And this is what we come to as we come to our worship, as we come to share in our time of fellowship, is that we come before a God who is righteous and holy, who hears and knows the very thoughts and intents of our heart. You know, that we don't even have to express them, but he knows the thoughts and intents of our heart. And to me, that's the beauty of what this story of Zacchaeus is. You know, this we've seen this in Sunday school. We have a song written about it. You know, and I just love that refrain. Oh, yes, my friend, there's something more than gold. To know your sins are all forgiven is something more than gold. To know that forgiveness that Jesus died upon the cross for, that he took onto himself, was for you. What a blessing to have that knowledge, that the gospel testifies to us that this was done for you, that you can believe your sins have been washed away as far as the east is from the west. You know, and this story of Zacchaeus speaks of the work of God in the human heart. And it tells us that Jesus entered and passed through, as he was passing through Jericho, and behold, there was a man named Zacchaeus, which was the chief among the publicans, and he was rich. Well, his name tells us that he was of the Jewish descent. And then it tells us that he was a publican and he was rich. We remember another publican, don't we? We remember Matthew, who Jesus called. And the publicans were the tax collectors of the day. And very often, as I believe it was the case with Zacchaeus, as it was certainly the case with Matthew, they collected from their own people and they gave unto the government of Rome, because the children of Israel were not self-governing in that day. You know, and these publicans were despised by their own people. You know, and so many have written about this man Zacchaeus when it tells us that he was chief among the publicans, is that, you know, he was probably what they called it in that time, a tax farmer. You know, I thought that was an interesting term that's been used to describe him, because, you know, he was able or he tried to get the most that he could out of the taxes, and anything extra he was able to attain unto himself, he was able to keep. And so it tells us that he was rich, and this is what's thought that he got his riches from. And it tells us that he sought to see Jesus, who he was, and could not for the press, because he was little of stature. You know, how many of us have felt little of stature? Not just in a natural way, you know, not when we're young and when we're small, you know, but sometimes we feel like we're just totally unworthy to even, you know, to be able to gather with the Christians, gather with those that believe, with those that testify of God's goodness and of his grace. You know, we feel, well, that it's not for me. I've sinned too much, or I just don't have the ability to believe. Well, I think it's important for us to recognize that it is God who gives faith. You know, even the Apostle Paul, who wrote so many of the New Testament letters, when he tells us in Galatians, he says, I live by the faith of the Son of God who loved me and who gave himself for me. The recognition that it is God who supplies this faith, that there is nothing that we can do to be able to attain unto faith. This is a gift that the Spirit brings unto us. This gift that, that draws us to Jesus. It tells us he sought to see Jesus who he was. You know, he wanted to go to see this Jesus. And whether it was an intellectual curiosity, who knows? You know, it doesn't tell us that. It simply says he sought to see Jesus. And then it begins to open up the heart of this Zacchaeus, you know, because it tells us he ran before and climbed up into a sycamore tree to see him, for he was to pass that way. Well, I think now we begin to see the heart of Zacchaeus is more than just this rich ruler who would have been probably very sedate in his mannerisms. He would have been, he certainly wouldn't have been running just as the, you know, we in this the parable of the prodigal son, you know, the father ran to the returning prodigal. That was very unlike a Jewish elder to run. And how much less so, as he tells us, and he climbed up into a sycamore tree. I think probably most of the young people here, most of us probably have climbed a tree at some point in time. You know, we've, in our youth, certainly more so. I don't know how many of us in our older age have climbed into a tree. But this was something that was important to Zacchaeus. God was pressing into his heart. The work of the Holy Spirit was beginning to do its work there, to be able to call and to gather. You know, that's the work of the Spirit, to call and to gather, to enlighten the entire Christian church on earth. And Zacchaeus was feeling this call, as it's indicated here. And he climbed up into a sycamore tree to see him, for he was to pass that way. He had knowledge of where Jesus was. You know, and that's the blessing we have as the church, you know, as we declare the gospel. Let's pray that the church continues to preach and to pray for the truth to be proclaimed. You know, that we don't fall into the trap of going back into the society that we live in and being drawn there, because we're going to hear many voices there. Just as, you know, we see here that when Jesus came to the place and looked up and saw him and said unto him, Zacchaeus, make haste. You know, we're going to hear voices calling to us and drawing us, you know, especially in our early days when we don't have the experience. Recognize that this word that God has supplied, this testimony of the gospel that has been, you know, for generation after generation, goes back to the time of Adam and Eve, that this word will continue, that this word is true, it will never fail. Jesus told us that heaven and earth shall pass away, but my word shall never pass away. And so let's recognize how important this word is as we meditate it, as we read it, as we study it, as we look to this word, not only for guidance and direction, but to recognize this is where our assurance of salvation comes. This is how the gospel is declared. This is what is preached unto us. This is what God has chosen, you know, by, as Paul said, by the foolishness of preaching to save those that would believe. Peter tells us so plainly in his epistle, in the latter part of the first chapter of his epistle, you know, he tells us this. He says, but for you know as much that you are not redeemed with corruptible things, as silver and gold, from your vain conversation received by tradition from your fathers, but with the precious blood of Christ, as of the Lamb without blemish and without spot, who verily was foreordained before the foundation of the world, but was manifest in these last times, and I love these two words, for you, who by him do believe in God, that raised him up from the dead and gave him glory, that your faith and hope might be, where? In God. Seeing ye have purified your souls in obeying the truth through the Spirit unto unfeigned love of the brethren, and that ye love one another with a pure heart, fervently, being born again, not of corruptible seed, but of incorruptible, by the word of God, which liveth and abideth forever. For all flesh is as grass, and all glory of man as the flower of grass. The grass withereth, and the flower thereof falleth away. But the word of the Lord endureth forever. And this is the word which by the gospel is preached unto you. That's the blessing we have in this fellowship, in hearing the gospel message. And what did Zacchaeus hear? He who was rich, who was stepped down from his high stature in a natural way, went up into the sycamore tree. And it tells us, when Jesus came to the place, he looked up and saw him and said unto him, Zacchaeus, make haste and come down, for today I must abide in thy house. You know, I remember sitting in a pew, and I can still hear the pastor, Richard Barney, you know, declaring that those words, as he read those words, as they entered into my heart. I was praying, oh, I wish Jesus would come and abide with me, because I did not feel he was abiding with me. Now, that was the feeling of my heart, and I'm sure many have that same feeling. But to recognize this is the voice of Jesus, when he comes, he will abide with us. He will come to that place of bringing us to that place of recognizing who he is, of hearing this word of the gospel as it is preached unto us, as in believing this gospel message and in knowing the power that it brings into our lives. He brought into the life of this, you know, this rich publican, this chief of the publicans, it brought him into a special place. It tells us he made haste and came down. And what did he do? He received him joyfully. I've always thought that's really curious how this is phrased here, that he received Jesus joyfully. You know, he knew that he was a sinner. He knew his past. But he, I believe, knew also that Jesus knew. And when he saw it, when they saw it, they all murmured, saying that he's gone to be a guest with the man that is a sinner. Well, that's who Jesus comes to. He comes to you and he comes to me. He comes to abide with us, to live within our hearts. You know, this is the power, this word and the spirit that are abiding within our hearts. You know, it's that which, you know, the Hebrews writer tells us, you know, that there's two immutable things whereby God cannot lie. I believe it's at the end of the sixth chapter. It tells us, wherein God, willing more abundantly to show unto us the immutability of his counsel, confirmed it by an oath, that by two immutable things, in which it was impossible for God to lie, that we might have a strong consolation, who have fled for refuge, to lay hold upon the hope that is set before us, which hope we have as an anchor of the soul, both sure and steadfast, which entereth into that within the veil, whither the forerunner is entered for us, even Jesus, made an high priest forever, after the order of Melchizedek. Those are the two things where it is impossible for God to lie, his word and his spirit that abide with us, that come through this powerful message of the gospel to find residence within our hearts. Zacchaeus stood and said unto the Lord, behold, Lord, the half of my goods I give to the poor. And if I have taken anything from any man by false accusation, I restore him fourfold. An immediate work that God brought into the life of Zacchaeus, that he brings into our lives. We recognize that, you know, the poverty that we are in our own selves. You know, and we see the change that there was in Zacchaeus. He went from serving himself, right, making himself rich in a natural way, to make recompense, and but also to serve others. He says, the half of my goods I give to the poor. You know, think about giving half of everything that you have and just giving it to the poor. That would be a challenge for us in our humanity, wouldn't it? But then he continues, he says, and if I have taken anything from man by false accusation, I restore him fourfold. And it's interesting because when he speaks of this fourfold, he's going back to the law as if he was convicted under the law. He was brought to trial and convicted. That's what was required of the law, was that you would give you would restore fourfold to those that you had stolen from. But he's making this of his own free volition, which would have only under the law required that he restore the exact amount that was taken. And we see the power that the Spirit brings into the human heart when it causes us to recognize that it is how important it is for us to be able to not only come to this place of knowing who God is, a place of repentance and of faith, but of that love that God has towards humanity, that it would be instilled within our hearts also, that we would go forth and share this message of the gospel. And Jesus said unto him, this day is salvation come to this house, for as much as he also is a son of Abraham. You know, the Jews, the common people of his day, the leaders of his faith, no doubt would have counted him less than the Gentiles in that day. But Jesus said, this day is salvation come to this house, for as much as he also is a son of Abraham. Salvation indeed comes because Christ was there. Salvation came by faith in this what God has supplied in Jesus Christ. He says, "For the Son of Man has come to seek and to save that which was lost." That's the purpose that the gospel comes, that we continue as a body of believers here upon this earth, as the hands and the feet that go forth and share in the gift with the gifts and the abilities that God has given us. We all don't have the same abilities, but we all have gifts and abilities that God has supplied unto us. Let us pray that God would give us the strength to go forth, that we would share this message, not only of the gospel, but be able to be partakers of that and to share those that do not know, that do not have, that do not have not received this greatest gift of all. Yes, I think it's important for us to supply in a natural way as the body, as the church, you know, and we do that. When we see need, we have that instant desire to supply. But how much more important is it to supply that message of salvation? That man who is simply given, you know, things here that are going to quickly fade away, you know, when we supply those things also fade away. But that gift of eternal life that God himself supplies through this message of the gospel, through his children, to be able to share this message, is a message that will share, it will ring through eternity. And we will be able to sing together with them that eternal song of salvation, a song that will declare the good and gracious work of Christ Jesus, the love that God has towards humanity. And may it be unto him all honor and glory, power and dominion. In Jesus' name, amen. Let's continue now with number 389, I Heard the Voice of Jesus, number 389. Let's ask the Lord to humble our hearts in closing prayer and in benediction. Gracious Father, we give thanks for your word that is eternal. Continue to supply unto us, Father, that which is able to cause us to go forth into this world to share your message of peace, the message that brings to us not only your love through Christ Jesus, but brings to us that knowledge that our sin debt has been paid, that the gospel which has declared unto us a righteousness that is alien has been able to receive in our hearts through that great gift of faith. Now we ask, Father, that you would bless us and keep us, that you would make your face to shine upon us and be gracious unto us, that you would lift up your countenance upon us and give us peace. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.
Just looking ahead a little bit, Saturday, August 9th from 1 to 3 will be another 50th wedding anniversary celebration. This will be for John Helen here at the church. So Saturday, August 9th, I'll announce it again when we get opportunity, but letting you know. Only thing for this week is we'll have church next Sunday at 11. We're going to close with 531, and during this song, an offering will be taken. Thank you.